Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a percussion layer and offsetting it for that warm tape-style grit that sits beautifully in jungle and old-school DNB. This one is all about feel. We are not trying to make the drums sloppy. We are trying to make them breathe. A tiny timing offset, the right tone shaping, and a little controlled imperfection can turn a clean percussion loop into something that feels dusty, human, and full of pressure. Think classic jungle energy. Think breakbeats, tape machines, dubplate character and percussion that moves around the grid just enough to feel alive without losing the groove. First, set up your drum foundation. You can work at a tempo around 160 to 172 BPM if you want a more modern DNB pace, or closer to 150 to 165 BPM if you want a slightly older, rolling feel. Use whatever your main drum bed is, but make sure it already feels good on its own. That could be an amen style break, a chopped breakbeat, or a programmed kick and snare pattern in drum rock. The important part is this: your core drums should be stable before you start adding the offset layer. In this style, the kick and snare are the anchor. The percussion layer is the motion around the anchor. Now choose your percussion source. Good candidates are shakers, rim clicks, little conga ghosts, hi-hat patterns, fully taps, or even chop top end fragments from a break. You want something with clear transients and small rhythmic detail, because those sounds respond really well to tiny timing changes. Put that percussion on its own track. Give it a clear name, something like Perk Offset or Jungle Grit Perk. Keeping it separate is important because you want to shape its timing, tone, width, and dynamics independently from the main drum loop. Now comes the key move: offset the percussion slightly in time. There are a few ways to do this in Ableton Live 12. If you're working with Audino, you can adjust the clip start, position, or nudge the waveform a few milliseconds earlier or later. If you want the layer to feel laid back, try moving it late by around 5 to 15 milliseconds. If you want a more urgent push, try nudging it slightly early, maybe 5 to 10 milliseconds ahead. For that warm tape-style drag, a late placement around 15 to 25 milliseconds can work really well, especially on shakers and ghost percussion. If you want a faster workflow, use track delay on the percussion track. That's a really clean way to test timing without permanently editing the clip. Try plus 5 to plus 15 milliseconds for a lazy pocket, or a small negative delay if you want it to lean forward. And if your layer is MIDI, just nudge the notes off the grid manually. But don't move every hit the same amount. That's the big trap. If everything shifts evenly, it can sound mechanical in a different way. You want human variation, not a bad delay effect. A great intermediate trick is to offset only selected hits. Maybe late ghost hats on the offbeats, while a rim click stays closer to the grid. Or a few delayed Foley hits in the second half of the bar. That contrast gives the groove depth, without turning the whole loop into mush. If your percussion is an audio loop, you can also use warp creatively. In some cases, repitch gives a more sampler-like old-school character. Beats mode is great when you want tighter transient control. You can even duplicate the layer, offset one copy a little bit, filter it heavily, and pan it slightly. That creates a subtle double machine effect that feels very jungle friendly. Now let's give the layer some warmth and grit. A solid stock chain to start with is EQ8, saturator, drum bus, utility, and then a small amount of reverb if needed. Start with EQ8. Clean out the low end first. Depending on the source, high pass somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz. If the sound is boxy, you can dip a bit in the low mids, around 400 to 700 Hz. And if it's too bright or crispy, roll off some top end above 10 to 12 kHz. You want the percussion to sit above the kick and sub, not compete with them. Next, add saturator for warmth. A little drive goes a long way here. Try 2 to 6 dB to start, with soft clip on. If the sound is too clean, push it until the transients thicken up and the top end softens a bit. You're aiming for that warm, slightly worn edge, not harsh clipping. After that, drum bus can add some really nice density. Keep the drive moderate, maybe 5 to 20%, and use crunch lightly if you want extra bite. Usually, you want boom off or barely touching it for a percussion layer, because the low end should stay out of the way. If the hits are too spiky, back off the transients a little. This can really help the layer feel glued and slightly crushed in a good way. Utility is there to keep the image under control. In jungle and DNB, percussion layers often work best centered or only slightly widened. If it gets too wide, it can start distracting from the break and the bass. So use utility to narrow it if needed and keep an eye on mono compatibility. If you want a bit of space, use a short reverb, but keep it tight. A small room or short plate with a little predelay can add air without washing out the swing. Better yet, send it to a return track, so you can keep the percussion itself punchy and control the space separately. To make the layer feel even more like worn tape or a sampled loop, add subtle modulation and filtering. Auto filter is a great choice. Try a low pass cutoff somewhere around 8 to 14 kHz, with a touch of resonance. Then automate that cutoff slowly over 8 or 16 bars. It doesn't need to be dramatic. Even tiny movement can make the loop feel like it's passing through an aging signal chain. If you want a little more wobble, Chorus Ensemble can work on airy percussion like shakers, as long as you keep it subtle. And if you want that dusty sampler crust, Redux can add a bit of old digital roughness. Just be careful. A little bit of bit reduction or sample rate reduction can be enough to create character. Too much, and the groove gets brittle. Now listen to the percussion layer against the main break. This is where the real lesson happens. Ask yourself, is it swinging with the break, or fighting it? Is it filling the space between the main hits, or stepping on the snare? Does it feel like part of the same drum family? If it feels crowded, move it a touch later or earlier. Sometimes the difference between blurry and magical is only a few milliseconds. Also check for transient clashes. If the percussion hits right on top of a snare tail or a break accent, it can kill the punch. Slide it until it slots in rather than colliding head-on. A very useful D&B move is light sidechain compression. If the percussion layer is masking the kick or snare, use compressor with a gentle sidechain from the kick or from a kick and snare drum bus. Keep the ratio moderate, the attack not too fast, and the release fairly musical. You usually only need a couple dB of gain reduction, just enough to let the main drums breathe. One thing to remember, in this style, the percussion should feel like movement around the groove, not a separate loop pasted on top. Think in layers of motion. Timing is part of it, but tone, stereo position, and dynamics matter just as much. A slight offset by itself can be cool, but when you combine it with filtering, saturation, and controlled stereo drift, that's when it starts sounding like classic jungle detail. Arrangement matters too. Don't just leave the layer looping forever. Bring it in after 8 or 16 bars. Pull it out before a breakdown so the return feels bigger. Automate the filter cutoff. Add a few extra ghost hits before a drop. Make the second half of the drop slightly more saturated or a little more delayed. Tiny changes like that keep the track evolving and stop loop fatigue from setting in. Here's a really effective approach. Make two versions of the same percussion layer. One can be cleaner and more controlled. The other can be more delayed, more saturated, and a little more worn. Use the second version only in the later part of the drop. That kind of progression feels very natural in jungle and old school D&B. And always check the percussion with the bass. This is crucial. A layer that sounds great solo can disappear once the sub and res come in, or it can clutter the low mids and make the whole mix feel smaller. Trim more low end if needed, reduce the reverb tail, and make sure the percussion supports the bass instead of masking it. Here's a quick practice move you can try right now. Load a breakbeat or D&B drum loop at about 170 BPM. Add a second track with a shaker loop, rim percussion, or chop top loop. Offset it by around 8 to 12 milliseconds late. Put EQ8, saturator, drum bus, and auto filter on the track. High pass around 200 Hz. Add a few dB of drive. Use light crunch. Then automate the filter slowly over 8 bars. Bounce it to audio if it feels good, and compare the original on-grid version with the offset gritty version. Listen for three things. Does it feel more human? Does it add motion without clutter? And does it support the break instead of competing with it? If yes, you're on the right track. The big takeaway is simple. In jungle and old school D&B, the percussion layer does not have to be perfect. In fact, a little imperfection is often what makes it feel right. Tiny offsets, warm saturation, careful filtering, and a touch of movement can make the groove feel like it came from a dusty sampler, a tape machine, or a beautifully abused dubplate chain. Keep the main break solid. Let the percussion breathe around it. Use small timing shifts. Shape the tone. Keep the groove punchy but imperfect. That's the recipe for that raw, musical, dangerous jungle energy. And if you want to go even further, you can build a dedicated rack preset for this sound, or create a few classic jungle-style MIDI and audio patterns to practice with.